A little bit of business stuff before we get started, because I know that the Holy Spirit wants to move. He wants to move and do mighty things in you and through you. He doesn't just want to do mighty things in you. He wants to actually do mighty things through you. But he's going to first start within you, and then as you dare to believe him, it will happen. It will happen. I have a couple things before we get into the Word. Back at the back table, we do have books for sale. Dare to Believe, The True Power of Faith to Walk in Divine Healing and Miracles. I'm going to teach out of this book this morning, but this book is actually life-changing. I can say it not because I wrote it, but because the Holy Spirit gave it to me. I mean, I would actually dream the words on the page, and I would just wake up and go write them. I mean, I'd actually read it, and then I'd go and write it. And it's also, it teaches you how to walk in divine healing and miracles. It teaches who you are in Christ, how to have authority and all of that. And one of the things I want to say about it is, back in Guatemala when I was a missionary, you know, as a young missionary, we're still in Guatemala, but I remember being hungry and thirsty for God in a different manner. I was already walking with him. I had a close relationship. I could hear him. I could see him. But there was like more. It's like the Lord, you know, we have different levels of our spirituality. And it's like you get to a certain level and he says, okay, step up. And you go there. And then you get to a certain level, you go step up. And you just keep going up and up. Well, this was birthed in a time of seeking him. Not what he had, but just seeking him. And in 1 year, he had me fast 3 times, 40-day fasts. And they were fasts from him. They were very strict fasts. They were difficult fasts, but they were glorious at the same time. All of this that's written in here, which is really my life, what's written in here came out of, it was birthed out of those 3 40-day fasts in 1 year. I would fast one time. I made it through. I mean, they were very strict fasts. There wasn't cheating, none of that. It was just very strict. And and I finished that one. And a little while after that one, he said, do it again. And I did it again. And a little while after that, after I got done with the second one, he said, again. I was hungry for him. I wanted more of him. I knew there was more to be had of him. And that's where this was actually birthed. And this whole lifestyle, and it is a lifestyle of living in the miraculous realm on a daily basis. We have people that ask, I remember one time someone asked David and I, we had hosted this Bible, this group of Bible students from a Bible college in Minnesota. And one of them said to me after hearing the message, she goes, you make it sound as if you and David walk in divine healing and miracles every day. I said, we do, and so should you. We really do. We really do. I'm going to teach you how to do that today. But this book is called Dare to Believe, and it's a literal challenge. It was released by Destiny Image in February, and this message is going around the world. And it's for you. It is for you. It's not just for me. I believe we're living in the end times. I don't believe we're at the very end. I believe we're like at the beginning of the end, but things are going to happen real quickly. And I believe that we need more people out there. Because you know what? Signs and wonders lead people to Jesus. That is the smartest way to evangelize people. When you go into hospitals and you can clear out the whole ward in the name of Jesus. I've seen it. I've done it, not just once, not just twice, but it becomes a lifestyle. And I'm going to teach you how you can walk in that. But back there, we have books. We have a Christmas special going on. If you buy 3 books, and it is a Christmas special, thinking of Christmas, and I know people are thinking Christmas. I walk in your stores, and I see Christmas stuff all over, and I see people buying it. So I know it's happening, even though it's October, right, the end of October. If you buy 3 books, we will give you the 4th one free. Okay? Amen? So if you buy 3 books today, you get the 4th one free. Amen? Amen. Back there also we have a CD. Some, not all people want to read, but there is a CD, and it has four teachings on there from the book. It has Redeemed from the Curse Part 1, Redeemed from the Curse Part 2, Resolving Doubts and Questions Concerning Healing. I answer very difficult questions on there. And I have Marcos's amazing testimony of how we raised our little Guatemalan son from the dead, because he had died from sudden infant death syndrome. And we believe God for a new heart, new lungs, because they literally exploded. They didn't just stop. They literally exploded and came up out of his nose. And we believe God for new heart, new lungs, new kidneys, and a new brain, because it was all dead, completely dead. And he's now 10 years old, and he's alive and well in every area of life. That's amazing. That is truly amazing. So here we have... For $15, we give you four teachings, actually three teachings, and Marcos's testimony. Marcos's testimony changes people's lives. It just changes lives. It's gone, and it continues to go all around the world. You hear it, and you will, it's breathtaking, the greatness of our God. We have a little newsletter. Did you guys get a newsletter and a pamphlet when you walked in? Is there anybody that didn't get this? Can you, can someone go back there, have some on the back table and hand them out? Just keep your hand raised and they'll give that to you. The purpose of this newsletter, you can actually go onto my website, authorbeckydvorak.com, and you can get all of this stuff. If you want your faith charged, if you want to be stirred, God calls me a spoon. And why does he call me a spoon? He says, because you stir people's faith. That's what he does. That's what he has me do for him. And my whole website is just constant healings. It's just teaching you healing and miracles. So if you like to have your faith stirred and charred, go to authorbeckydvorak.com. It will connect you to anything that I'm on the social media, okay? And there's a pamphlet here as well, and it tells you a little bit about it, and it has Let's Connect information on the back. I also have in the back, I have handmade Guatemalan pens. They're very unique, and people like them, and those are for sale as well. Here I have a Dare to Believe email and Facebook sign-up sheet. Just write your name, your email, and Facebook. Make sure it's very clear and legible so that I can read it. Don't do real fancy writing, because sometimes it's hard to read. So I'm just going to pass that around and just continue passing it around to everybody, okay? Okay, are we doing well today? Yes. Are we believing God has great things in store for us? Yes. I totally believe it. I totally believe he has good things in store for us today. Yeah, I saw that, but I don't want to trip over it. Okay, as I'm sitting there, as we're entering into the presence of God through praise and worship, these are some of the things that the Lord is manifesting on my body, and he may do more of it that I know that's in here. There's somebody with a bunion, and God is going to heal that today. There's people with foot problems. He wants to heal that. He wants to heal us in spirit, soul, and body today. So you just put your faith in action, because those things can actually even start manifesting during the word. Amen? I remember ministering the word of God, and I was actually teaching. It was in Guatemala at a church that we were attending, and I was teaching the people, and I was using the example of the man with the withered hand. I didn't know it, but there was somebody in this large group of people that had a withered hand. There was a man there. I didn't see him. I didn't know him. I didn't know he was there, but he was hearing the word of faith, and the message so charged him that as he was sitting there, his hand was completely healed. This was a withered hand that we couldn't do anything. You know, there was no strength. He never could do anything with it, and it just was healed. Amen? God is healing people. You say, oh, that's Guatemala. It's like, no, it's not. God is healing people all over the world. I'm traveling all over the United States. I'm a missionary in Guatemala. And now God is sending this missionary back to her sending country. And I'm going all over the United States. And I'm seeing people completely healed and delivered. Healing services that are just fabulous. where it just breaks loose. Usually it takes a little while to work with one or two people to get the to get everybody joined in. But as soon as the people start seeing and witnessing it, their faith just breaks loose, and it's just popping all over. It's just happening all over. Blind eyes, yes. In your country, blind eyes are open. Just last weekend, I was in Nashville, in Hendersonville, Tennessee area. Blind eyes were opening. Deaf ears were hearing. People that couldn't walk and run were running and walking. Broken bones were instantly healed. Instantly healed. You name it, it was happening. So it does happen in the United States. All you have to do is actually dare to believe. And that title of this book, Dare to Believe, is actual. It's a challenge. It's a challenge for you to believe, to trust God. There's other things here. I have this long list of things. I'm going to read it. There's somebody here with like some kind of a, I heard the word eccentric. I don't know if it's you. I don't know if you live with someone, but they're very eccentric, and it's very difficult, and it's challenging. God wants to set you free. There's someone in here that deals with, they're claustrophobic. There's a real problem with fear, and God wants to set you free. There's someone here that is dealing with discouragement, and you're on the verge of giving up, and he doesn't want you to give up. You know, one thing he always says, choose life. Everywhere I'm going right now, and I'm talking in the church people, every church that I have been in, people are being set free in the church from a spirit of suicide. It's because people are desperate. They're in despair. They haven't been taught. They just think they're so caught up in the world, and you know, the world will kill you. It will kill you spiritually. It will just destroy you. A spirit of depression. He wants to set you free. And there's somebody here, and I get the word sour wine. You've lost your flavor. You've lost the joy of the Lord. And he wants to restore that today to you. He wants to restore the sweetness of his wine. And you know, that comes through relationship with him. He just wants to restore that sweetness between you and him. There's someone here that has a sharp pain in the front of their right thigh. Another person on the left upper thigh hip area, and I've got this several times, and so I just kind of lumped it together, but I knew there was somebody here that has a problem with the left upper thigh and the hips. And like I said, the hips just kept coming. And it was got the word replacement. He wants to replace hips. I am seeing, that is a common thing I'm seeing everywhere I go. I had a woman in a meeting, and where was I? In Phoenix, Arizona, and cancer had eaten away her hip bone. She couldn't stand and she couldn't walk. She, you know what? She instantly got a new hip. She was squatting on the floor. She was jumping up, running. She just took off running. Amen? Instantly. There's someone here, they have pain behind the left ear. God wants to heal these things. There's a left lung and in the heart area. There's problems there, and he wants to heal it. Somebody with the problem in the middle spine. Another person, they have on their right big toe, it's like it's broken or there's pain there, and he wants to heal it. Someone with on the right side of, they have a problem on the right side of their sinuses. Another person, their left arch, and he wants to heal it. I have brand new arches. I have a brand new knee, I have brand new arches, you name it, I've got, it's brand new. It's awesome what he will do. Someone is having problem with sinus headaches, migraine headaches. He wants to heal you and set you free of that today. Another person with a problem with their left hand, another person with the right knee, another person behind their left knee, there's pain, there's problems. Somebody has a lot of problems with nauseousness, and he wants to heal you and set you free of that today. Another person, there's a problem with the left foot, and it seemed like over here in the front of the foot. And he wants to heal that and set that free. Another person has a problem on the right side of their face. It's like a muscular problem, and there's something there. And muscular nerves, whatever, he wants to heal it. There's another person on the right leg. They have like a pulled muscle or something. It was like it's bothering them. And as I speak, there's somebody here on the left side in the upper back, in the shoulder area. I feel like a pulling there, and he wants to set you free of that. There's another person, their left knuckle, the index finger, and it might be like arthritis right there. He wants to heal that and set free. No, you do not have to put up with arthritis. I'm seeing people with arthritis all over their body where it's just crippled them. Instantly set free. Instantly set free. There's somebody here with a problem, and I hear the word ventricle. It's like on that side of on their heart, they're having a problem, and God wants to give you a new heart. If we can believe God for our little baby whose heart exploded and came up out of his nose with his lungs, he can give you a new heart. There's not a problem with that. Nothing's too hard. Nothing is too hard. Somebody's having a problem with their right shin. He wants to heal that. And a right inner on the right side, on the inside there's a problem there, and he wants to heal it. Somebody here is having digestive problems, and they need a recreative miracle for their digestive system. That is not too hard for God. That is not hard for him. There's somebody, I felt pain on the right side, and he's wanting to give somebody a new liver, a new pancreas, a new gallbladder. I mean, there's just like all this stuff happening in there at once. And I think they could very well be different people. But problems with their digestive system. People are having heartburn and forms of indigestion. He wants to set that free, that acid reflex. He wants to set you free of that stuff and heal you. There's somebody that has some kind of an obstruction or a growth in their intestine. Something's there. Something's not right. And he wants to recreate that. He wants to set you free. There's another person here on the back side. Backside, there's muscle pain and it's strained, and it just, it's like it's a pulling, and he wants to heal you and set you free. Someone has a right inner ear problem. He wants to heal you. There's somebody here that has problems with allergies and sinus infections. He totally wants to set you free. Somebody with a lower leg, and I don't know if it was broken or it is broken, but he wants to heal that injury. Somebody else here with there's something on the lower jaw, and I keep getting it. It's right there, and I don't. It's something here, and it's like the lower jaw. He wants to heal that and set you free. Somebody with a left ankle, a left lung, somebody on the right eye, with their right eye. Somebody's having a problem with hemorrhoids, and someone else is having problems with female problems in those very private areas. And he just wants to heal you and set you free from that. Somebody with a left kidney, he wants to touch and heal that today. Somebody under their right shoulder, there's just pain there, and he wants to heal you. There's somebody else with migraine headaches. There's somebody like has something with their nostrils on the inside, and I think it was from drug use, and he wants to set you free. He wants to heal you of those issues. Yes, he wants to heal you of all things. And there's somebody else has an overall weakness in their body. They're tired. They need to be strengthened. He wants to recreate that. The recreation of the blood is the next thing. People that are weak and anemic, their blood is weak and anemic. He wants to heal you and set you free. Somebody else has on the left side skin problems on the face, on the left side. He wants to heal that. There's somebody with the right hip and the back side, and he wants to heal you, set you free. There's another person here with something. There's a problem on the left side of the brain, and he wants to heal you. Somebody is dealing with sciatic nerve problems. He wants to heal that sciatic, and he wants to set you free from it. Somebody has an issue with their right neck. Another person, their left lower arm. Other people with arthritis, and there's some people dealing with life and death situations. You've gone to a doctor. You've received some kind of a bad report, and God, he doesn't, that's not from God, number one. He wants to heal you, set you free, and deliver you. And there's somebody else with something right here, and he wants to heal you. He wants to heal you. He wants to set you free in Jesus' name. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen? Amen? Amen. Are we ready? Are we ready? Are you ready to receive from the Lord? Did you come here expecting God to, I'm sorry, I knocked somebody's stuff over. Are you ready to meet some? Are you ready to be touched by God today? Amen. Are you ready to receive your miracle today?
Yes.
You came hoping and expecting?
Yes.
Well, I know he wants to heal you. He so wants you healed. He loves you so much. Amen. What I have on my heart, and when I was in Guatemala, you know, I'm a teacher. I can teach away, but I wanted what God wanted for you. I wanted, because I know that if he knows how to fashion the message so it's for all the people that are in present in this room or that are listening, he knows how to direct a message if we'll follow his leading. Amen? And it will touch all the needs of the people in this place. Today I'm going to teach you about being redeemed from the curse. And we're going to start back in the time, in the beginning with Adam and Eve. Can you put that mirror up there, please? Don't uncover it yet, okay? We're starting back in the beginning of Genesis. You know, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, right? In the beginning God created. He's the creator. He's the one that creates. And he created this whole earth because the earth was without form and void and darkness was on the face of the deep. And why are we going through this? Why are we starting here? Because some of you have life situations going on in your happening in your everyday life. And you may be like this earth that was without form and void and darkness. There was darkness all over the face of that earth. And your life may be like that. There may be situations in your life that are dark. They're without hope. Or they appear to be without hope. They're void. Something in you is void. Something's missing. Something is missing in your life. Something is not connecting between you and the Father. There is something standing in the way. And you have this emptiness. Because, you know, we live in a fallen world and this world is cruel. But the Word says in this world you will have tribulation. You will go through difficult times. And it's not God that's designing those difficult times to you to strengthen you and to make you to see if you'll be faithful and all of that. No. We get rid of the works mentality and go back to the grace of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us. But we're starting here. And it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and there was darkness. There was darkness. And that may be exactly where you are at today. Something in your life, it's dark. It appears hopeless. Because, you know, when you look at the earth, you had the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the beginning, you had the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they were about, you know, they knew what they were creating. They knew what they were creating, but in order to make this very, very special creation, they had to prepare a place for this very special creation to live. And the earth, it was without form, it was void, and it was dark. And I know there's people in here, you're struggling with things. You may or may not have told people. Maybe you have. And you're like, where is God? Where is God in all of this? But he's like, he's here today and he wants to reach you. He wants to touch you with the power of his word. And he wants you to receive what he has for you today. And what you're going to hear today, it is life-changing. I know it's life-changing. He taught me and it's changed my life. It's totally changed my life. It's changed the direction of my life. But there's something in your life and there's darkness. You're like that earth that needed to be recreated. There's no form to it. There's no shape to it. It's like, where are you going in life? Where? It's like you have no direction in your life. You have no purpose. There's people here that feel like they don't have a purpose. And he wants to show you what your purpose is. He wants to show you. He gave us his word so that we can understand it. He wants it. He wants us to understand the revelation in his word. Because when we start catching the revelation of his word, it changes your life. And so we have the earth. It's without form and void, and there's darkness. But it said, but the Spirit of God. Who's the Spirit of God? The Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God, he's hovering over this this earth that was without form and void and dark. And it says the Holy Spirit, he was hovering. You know, to hover means to incubate. It means to cherish something. You know, like a mama chick, or I should say a mama hen. And she has all those little eggs, and she just hovers over there. She incubates her nest. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit was doing. That's what the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit were doing with that earth. You know, the Holy Spirit, he was hovering over that situation. They were creating, and they were hovering, and the Holy Spirit was hovering. He was incubating. And that word is also cherishing. That's an awesome word to think about. And the Holy Spirit was hovering over the situation. The Holy Spirit is the creative explosive power of God. The creative explosive power, I'm sorry, this is off, isn't it? The creative explosive power of God. And he's hovering. The creative explosive power of God is hovering over that earth. And you know what? Nothing happened. Nothing happened until the Father spoke. And what did he speak? Let there be light. And as soon as he said the words, let there be, allow, 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 let there be, allow. As soon as he said that, the power of the Holy Spirit was released. And the light came, right? The light was there. Do you know, as we study the word, and I know from Sunday school lessons and all of that, we've heard the story of creation over and over and over again. And that's what people, they've limited the word. They say, oh, that's, I know what was created on the first day, second day, third day. You know, we learned all of that. We did little mobiles and all of that, right? And that's all a good thing. But it's like we have these blinders on and we think that's all it is. Open up the word and read it again and again and again. I could teach you for several hours straight, nonstop, on the first four verses of the Bible. Genesis 1, 1, 2, 3, and 4. And I still learn. And I have been studying those verses for a long time. Years I have been studying them. It's life-changing. It's life-changing. That's how you create a miracle. It's right there. First four verses in the word. It's right there. And so we have, the earth is without form and void, and it's darkness. And the Holy Spirit, the creative explosive power of God, is hovering over it. And nothing happens until the Father says, let there be. Allow there to be light. And as we study that, we can see that light is not the creation of the sun, moon, and stars. If we have Sunday school teachers in here that teach creation to the children, we know that as we go down the first chapter of Genesis, the light, the sun, moon, and stars, their creation is starting in like verse 14, I believe it is. What was that light? What was the light that was needed? Do you know what it is? It's the glory of God. The glory of God. The glory. You know that glory is, I describe it in the book, the glory is the presence, the habitation, the habitation of God, his presence on the scene in the situation. And when that entered in and his presence was on the scene, his glory shone. When his glory was released and it shone, then came the rest of creation as we know it. And God created this beautiful place. The Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they created this beautiful place. For who? For people. We are a very special creation. We are his most cherished creation that he has created. And this whole earth, they had to have a special place that was just for us. I describe it in the book as an expectant mother. The power of creation. Like the expectant mother, you know, and she's thinking about that baby, those 9 months. She's thinking about that baby. She's thinking about the delivery. She's thinking after the delivery. She's thinking about, you know, where she's going to have that baby sleep. Where is that baby going to be? What is that baby going to wear? What is that baby going to do? She dreams and she thinks about it, right? Right? Can we relate to that? Well, that's what the Holy Spirit was doing. He was hovering over the face of the waters. And yet nothing could happen until the Father said, spoke with the power of the word, the power of the spoken word, let there be, allow it, allow it. And that's where I'm going to take you today, to where you get to the point today, you say, allow it. I allow it. I allow your power to manifest in my body. I allow your power to manifest through me. You're going to get to that place today. I go in detail in that further in the book. And if you read the book, you are really going to get the meat of this message. But God, he created Adam, right? He created Adam and Eve, right? He created them. And they were, do you know that they were created in his image? And I asked them, we're going to read from Genesis 1, 26, 27, 28, okay? I'm going to read that to you, and this will be coming out of the New King James Version, all right? Genesis 1, 26. Then God said, let us, that's plural, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And then we go into 27 and 28. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him male and female. He created them. Then he blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Some people think that's just about having babies. No, it's not. It's far more than that. He said, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image. Do you know that we are created in the image of God? When you get that revelation of who you really are in him, your life starts changing. It's like when the Lord was teaching me how to walk in divine healing and miracles, and this is very relevant to what we're talking today. You have to have the right foundation. You have to have the right foundation in these things. When he taught me how to walk in divine healing and miracles, he did not teach me how-tos. He didn't teach me methods. Those things will only take you so far. They work, but they only take you so far, because you run into things that you haven't been taught. And so, but how he taught me, and it's powerful. He taught me identity, number one. Who am I in Christ? And when you know, when you get the revelation of who you really are in Christ, along comes with it the authority. That's the second thing he taught me. He taught me my identity, and then he taught me authority. But in order to walk in authority, you have to first know who you are. Satan does not want us to understand who we are. We're going to talk about that today. But it's time that we learn. As we study this word, let us make man in our image. As we study the word image, we come to find out that it actually means mere image. Can I have a volunteer that will help me? Will someone come? We take that covering off of that mirror. We are created in the mirror image of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and it's time for us to learn our true identity. Look at this mirror. What do you see when you look in a mirror? Can everybody see the mirror? When you look in a mirror, what do you see? We see our reflection. We see ourselves. We see ourselves as we really are. Genesis 1, 26. Let us, meaning Father, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, let us make man, meaning people, not just male, but male and female. Let us create people in our mirror image. When we look in a mirror, we see our reflection. We see ourselves as we really are. He said, let us make human beings. Let us make male and female in our image. Let them be like us. Do you know what? We're the only part of creation. We're the only created being that is created in the mere image of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. There isn't any other creation like you. But we don't understand who we are. And I said, that's how Satan wants it. Most of us live in this earth, and we walk around with a veil over our image. We don't understand who we are. And you know, when we don't understand who we really are, and most Christians do not understand who they are. No, they don't. When we understand who we really are, things start changing. But when we don't know who we are, when we walk around with a veil over ourselves, we allow sickness, disease, we allow every form of the curse to just run us over. What is the curse? Curse is not sickness and disease. The Lord describes blessings and curses in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. Read it sometime today. It's a long chapter, but read the whole list of what God says is blessing. And then read the rest of the chapter, what he calls the curse. Many things that people call the curse, sickness and disease and all these horrible, horrible things, they call a blessing in disguise. No, it's not. God calls it the curse. And Jesus became the curse so we could be free from the curse. But as long as we walk around with a black veil over us, with that veil, that dark veil over us, we will never know who we are. And we will allow whatever is out there to come our way. Satan does not want you or I to understand who we are, because he knows he can keep us in bondage. Why is the church so sick today? Because people don't know who they are. The body of Christ does not know who they really are in Jesus. We do not really know. We've heard little bits and pieces, but the revelation has not come of who we really are. But this is so important that we know who we are. We're created in the mirror image of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. To remember the story, as we go on into chapter 3 of Genesis, and we read about the fall of Adam and Eve. Remember how, picture I have an apple in my hand. I wish I would have had an apple. Picture an apple in your mind. Get this visual in your mind. And remember when Satan came in the form of a serpent and he started talking to Eve? He started talking to Eve. The serpent was talking to Eve. And he was saying to her, if you'll take of this, you'll be like God. You will know the difference between good and evil. And she was enticed by his words. She was drawn by her own lust, by her own desire to know what was evil. But he didn't tell her the consequence of knowing that evil or experiencing that evil. He's the same way with us today, right? He tempts people, but he says the good makes it like so desirable, like this red shiny apple. But he never tells them what's behind, the poison behind that bite. He said to her, the serpent started talking, Satan started talking to Eve, and he said, if you take of this fruit, you will be like God. Do you know what? He lied to her. Satan lied to her. He took a bit of the truth and he twisted it like usual, like he still does today. He said, if you take of this fruit, you will be like God. That was a lie. She already was like God. She was created in the mere image of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. She already was like God. I'm not saying she was God. She was like God. She already was created like God. And she walked in that habitation of his manifested presence, of the glory of God. There was no want. There was no weakness. There was no sickness. None of it. She already was like God, her and Adam, and they walked in complete perfection. Everything was instant. There was no need. There was no need. Everything was already met. And that's what it's like when you walk in the habitation of his manifested presence in the shadow. I talk about that in the book. When you walk in under his shadow, under the shadow of the Almighty, in the presence of his glory, the miraculous just manifests. It's just there, and it just manifests in every area of your life. Every area of your life. But Satan doesn't want you to know, just like he didn't want. He was afraid of Adam and Eve, and that's why he went after them. One reason he was afraid of them. Two, he was jealous of this, of these creatures, of this creation that was created in the mirror image of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. If we go into that whole story of what happened in our beginning, and we start learning about the serpent, and it's like, why did he go after them? Who was he? Why? What was his real mission? I talk about that in chapter 1 because it gives you the base and you understand who you are, who you really are, and who Satan is. You understand it from all different angles and why he goes after us. Why is there this tribulation? Why is there sickness and disease? Why is the curse out there? What's going on? And it teaches you how to overcome it. He, you know, if we go back into his story, the story of Satan, who he is a created being, but he wasn't created for evil. His name was Lucifer, and he was this beautiful angel. And I go into the scripture so you can look it all up for yourself. And we see that Lucifer was this beautifully designed angel. He was a beautiful created being. And he was a covering angel. He was in the garden. He was on the mountain of God. He was in the presence of God. He had some type of a responsibility. He was in God's garden. But we know the story of him, right? How he deceived himself. He's a deceiver. That's all he is a deceiver. And he deceived himself thinking that he was better than God, that he was more powerful than God, and he convinced a third of the angels to go with him, and they rebelled against God, and what happened? They got kicked out. That's a mini version, right? But you can go in the book and you'll get it, okay? But he was so jealous of Adam and Eve because they were a creation that was created in the mirror image of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are the only people are the only creation that are created in the mirror image of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Animals aren't created in the mirror image of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Angels aren't even created in the mirror image of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. When God created Adam and Eve, the whole order of how things happened, before it was God and angels. But after he created Adam and Eve, it was now God, people, angels. People worship angels. It's like, no, you got it wrong. You are created a little lower than Elohim himself, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Angels are just ministering spirits to minister to us as God chooses. That's all they are. And people make Satan into this big, mighty, powerful being. Yes, he's wicked. But he's just a fallen angel. That is all he is. He's a liar and he's a deceiver. And he puffs himself up. He's arrogant and he puffs himself up. And he fills people's heads with lies. And so they magnify him and make him bigger. And yet they make God so little. But Satan is like this big thing in their life. Recently, Satan, he went after one of my kids. He was not successful, but he went after one of my kids. And it was very recent. And I didn't know about it yet. I was about to find out about it the next morning. I was going to be told the next morning of what almost happened. But God gave me this dream, and I saw it in my dream that night. And in my dream, I knew that the enemy went after one of my kids. And in authority, in this dream, this prophetic dream, I walked into a room and there was the enemy, Satan. And he was this little thing because he's little to me. He's a little thing. He's a little creature to me. He's not a big creature. He's a little one. And I walked in because I know who I am in Christ. I know who I am. I have the revelation of who I am. And I walked into that room with the authority that comes with knowing your identity. And I burst through that door and I said, "How dare you go after my child? How dare you come after my family? How dare you walk into here?" And I was just marching in with all authority, and Satan was afraid. And he literally ran and hid under a table, this little table that was in the room. And I went up there with all authority, and I mean, I'm like going, "We are going to box it out, bud. Don't you ever come even near my family again." And he was underneath this table, and I got down under, and there he was. And he was just trembling. He was so afraid. He was just trembling in there. And I'm saying, "Don't you ever come near my family again. You have no right to come near my family. We don't open up the door for you. You don't come near them." And you know what? He was just trembling. He was so afraid. And I have my head underneath this table, and I'm shouting at him. It's like, "How dare you? Don't you ever cross this line again. Don't you even come near." I've been quoting, "No weapon formed against us will prosper. No evil will come near our dwelling." I have been confessing that since the 80s. It's like, "Don't you dare come after my family. Don't you dare come near us." And he was just trembling underneath this table. And I was right underneath there, and he was just like, he was looking for some place to go, and there was no place except a garbage can. And he hopped in the garbage can. I thought, "What a good place for you." But he was little. It was in this little metal garbage can. And I put my face in the garbage can. And I said, "Don't you ever, ever come near us." And he was trying to escape, but he couldn't escape. Couldn't escape the wrath of God on him. And it was like, "Don't you ever." And he started falsely accusing. He looked up at me from the bottom of the garbage can. He says, "Jesus was arrested." And something just welled up in me. This anger, because he started accusing Jesus. And I started calling out the name of Jesus. And he went totally berserk in that little garbage can where he belonged. And he was hitting the sides of it. He was clanking on the inside of it, trying to escape. And he couldn't escape. And I just kept saying, "Jesus, Jesus." And I woke up. My husband's saying, "Peggy, wake up, wake up. What's going on?" And I'm calling out the name of Jesus with all authority because the Lord revealed what he tried to do. You say, "Oh, but that's a dream." I see it more than in a dream. When I first understood who I was, this is years ago, when I first started understanding who I was in Christ, and I'm just growing in it. But when I first started to understand, I remember the Lord called me. The Holy Spirit said, "As a missionary in Guatemala, you're going to go to the Maasai tribe, and you're going to teach them who they are in me." You know, I don't have time to go into it, but if you understand the Maasai, they're the jumpers, and like in the National Geographic, they've got the bones, and they've got the spears and the swords and their shields and all of that, and they're raised underneath the witch doctors. They're raised underneath witchcraft all their life. So you're going to go out there. When I started going out there, women, the first time, this is in the church, women crawled on their hands and knees, literally all fours. That was very hard for me to see because I'm a strong woman. And the closer I am to the Lord, the stronger I get. And I'm seeing women crawl on their hands and knees, and their heads could never be higher than the man. Ooh. And the Lord, Holy Spirit, is saying, "Don't you say a word. You keep your mouth shut. I will deal with this." We don't always know what the Lord has us doing. But, you know, they had people coming. This is in the middle of the Serengeti Plains, you know, where the elephants and the lions are roaring. I mean, you hear it all, and the hyenas laughing, the giraffes running, and the zebras and the wildebeest, all that. I'm out there, and all these men are like, "A woman?" They're questioning the archbishop. "You have a woman coming out here?" And he's a big old man, and he didn't say anything. The Lord proved to them that he works through women. They could not, no matter how arrogant they were, and they were arrogant, They could not deny the power of the Spirit in those meetings. They were glorious meetings. But here I am teaching them who they are in Christ because they've been raised all their life under the witch doctors. You know, supernatural is natural for them, but on the dark side of things, you know, on the satanic side of things. And here I am teaching them. They are creating the mirror image of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm teaching them about the blood of Jesus. I'm teaching them their covenant with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm teaching them all of this. And I stood, I would have four meetings a day, two-hour teachings, and then all the ministry, you know, in between all of that. That's how hungry people are for the Word of God. For a week, I stood four times a day. That's 8 hours of teaching a day. They were just like sponges. They didn't care what was going on. They were hungry for God. And they were hungry for the Word. They'd never heard of it like this. And I'm teaching them who they are. And at the nighttime, we found the Jesus film in Maasai, and we were showing it that night. And we're sitting out there. It's very rough and very basic out there. And if you want to come, we're going in February. You come and see me at the end, and I'll give you the details. We're going in February, February 1st through the 10th. And taking you out there. And here I am sitting in a chair just waiting for a movie to start. You know, they're trying to set all this stuff up outside. And I'm sitting there, and there's all these Maasai warriors and the women and the children. Everybody's everywhere. And in runs a demoniac, someone that's possessed by demonic spirits. I never saw him. I didn't know who he was. He wasn't at any of the meetings, but it's nighttime, and that's when they really manifest. And this demoniac comes running. Here I am teaching them who they are in Christ, teaching them their true identity. And the demoniac comes running. And I have all these men, you know, in their high positions. They're all standing there. He didn't go to one of them. He came to the one that was daring to believe who she was and teaching others that they were creating the mirror image of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit and had authority through the blood. And he came running and he knelt down at my feet, this demoniac. And he's crying out loud in English because they didn't speak Spanish. They didn't speak Spanish. Those are the two languages that I know. And I didn't speak Maasai or Swahili that they speak over there. And he came running up to me, knelt down at my feet, and the demonic spirits within him started screaming out loud in English to me, "Why have you come to torment us?" The enemy knows when you know who you are, but he does not want you to know. And he said to Eve, "If you eat of this fruit, you will be like God. You will be like God." It was a lie. She already was like God. She already was created in the mirror image of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so are you. You are creating the mirror image of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so that day when he lied to her and she took it, and as soon as she took it, everything changed. They lived in the perfect manifestation of his glory, of the glory of God. They lived in the habitat of the glory of God, where there was no need. There, everything was perfect. And she took of it. And I know all of creation stopped. Everything stopped. On earth, up above and below, everything stopped. Because immediately, everything changed. And that's where corruption came into this physical world and into the physical body. And a veil was thrown over their image of God. They were creating the mirror image of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when they took of that, both Adam and Eve, when they took of that, that veil went over. Satan wanted the authority that they were given. He wanted that authority that was given to human beings. He wanted that because it's something he lost. And he wanted it. And he was so jealous of the created being that was created in the mirror image of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, because he was not. He is bent on your destruction. That's his mission, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. What do sickness and disease do? They kill, they steal, and they destroy. Are they from God? No. God does not put sickness and disease on us to teach us a lesson, to see if we will be faithful in even during the greatest times of suffering. Will we be faithful to the name of Jesus? That is a works mentality. You need to shake that off because it is not of God. Jesus Christ paid the price once and for all so that all could be free from sickness and disease. Everyone, that we could be free. He became the curse. He didn't just take upon sickness and disease. He actually was transformed into sickness and disease. His whole body, when they looked at him on the cross, he no longer looked like a human being. His whole visage, everything about him changed. They couldn't even recognize him as human. Why? Because he literally transformed into the curse for us so that we could be free from the curse, so that we could be free from all sickness, all disease. We are created a little lower than Elohim. It says in Psalm 8, we're going to look at this. I'm going to read it to you. It says that we are created in his mirror image. It says in Psalm 8:6, you made him to have dominion over the works of your hands, and you put all things under his feet. We're going to look at this even a little more. And I'm going to look in my Bible here. Psalm 8. Now I have... I'm reading out of a New King James, and it reads like this in Psalm 8:5. For you have made him a little lower than the angels. You know that word angels is incorrectly translated there? If you look like in the New American Standard Bible, they have it correct. Because what it should say is you have made him, meaning people. The angels are talking to God about people in Psalm 8, the creation of people. The creation of Adam and Eve. And they're saying, you have made him a little lower. And the correct translation says Elohim. The original says Elohim. Elohim in the Bible is talking about the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. You can read it in detail and study it out for yourself. And you need to study this out for yourself. And he says, you have created people in the mirror image of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, a little lower than Elohim, not a little lower than angels. Why? Because if we were created a little lower than angels, we would be below Satan, because Satan is a fallen angel. And I refuse to be underneath Satan. And the Word says that we have been given authority over Satan and all his wicked works. That's in the New Testament. We have been given authority over Satan and all of his wicked works. All of them. Sickness and disease are wicked works. Why? Because it says that every good and perfect gift comes from up above. Every good and perfect gift comes from up above. Sickness and disease are not good and perfect gifts. They're part of the curse. And we have been given authority over the curse because Jesus became the curse, so we are free from the curse. It says, in this world you will have tribulation. And it says to go on to about be of good cheer. Not because you are battling against some type of sickness or disease. No, you be of good cheer because you have relationship with the victorious one. You have relationship with the victor. And because you have relationship with the victor, Jesus Christ, you can be victorious over it. And he's given you everything you need to overcome every situation that you face. He didn't leave anything undone. Nothing was left undone. You have been redeemed from the curse, totally and completely from the curse. But Satan knows. He knows as long as you have a veil over your image and you do not understand who you are, every form of the curse comes on you. Anything and everything comes, can come upon you, and you'll allow it because you don't understand who you are. It's like in that prophetic dream that I had, and the Lord revealed what Satan tried to do but was unsuccessful. And I just went after him with all boldness, with all authority. Why? Because I knew who I was. And I knew Satan did not have the right to come near my family. He did not. And I went after him, and he knew. He didn't stand up against me. He literally ran. He ran. And he was hiding. And he was trying to escape because he knows authority. Just like I told you, that demoniac came up to me and said, "Why have you come to torment us?" It reminds me. Now, this is really important. Now, can I walk up here without this buzzing? Okay. I don't know how to get up here. When we know who we are in Christ, when we get the revelation, that veil lifts off of us. It lifts, and the enemy knows. That's why that demoniac came to me. And he knelt down and they started screaming out, "Why have you come to torment us?" Because I lifted the veil off through the word of God. And because I was seeking after it, I received the revelation of who I was in him. And it's so important that we understand who we are in Christ. We are created in the mirror image of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And once you understand that, when you get the revelation of your identity, that you are created in the mirror image of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, along comes with it the authority. It's just there. And the authority in Christ changes the situation that you are facing, or the situation, the circumstance that you walk into. My husband and I, we were ministering in a small Latin town, and our family was holding a faith and healing conference in a place where nobody had, in Guatemala. And this was just a couple years ago, I think 2 years ago. And we had opposition and all of that, but we just persevered. And there was like about 2,000 people in this soccer field that the governor gave us permission to use. And I was teaching them about how they were redeemed from the curse, standing out there in the middle of the football field, and it's nighttime, and all these people came with great needs, and they never heard this kind of a teaching before. And I'm teaching them the seven places Jesus shed his blood for them to be totally set free. And the witches were just coming against us. Witchcraft is very strong all over the world, and it's very strong in your country as well. And we were teaching them with all authority because we know who we are in Christ now. We just continue to keep building ourselves, that we are created in the mirror image of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And as you keep your faith fed in who you really are in Christ, that authority, you just start walking in that authority. And I remember teaching at this faith and healing conference out there, and all these people were out there. And I got done, and we had a team ready to pray and minister over the people. And they walked me down off the platform, and they walked me down, and they brought me to the first woman, and she was in a wheelchair. And she didn't speak Spanish. She spoke another local dialect in Guatemala. And so I was using an interpreter. And this woman had some kind of an accident years ago. I don't even remember what happened to her, but it had been many years, and she was married, and she was bitter. She was angry because she was paralyzed. She was angry with everyone around her. She was bitter towards her husband. She was bitter towards everybody she came in contact, and she was bitter with God. Why was she bitter with God? Because she was told, you've sinned, and so God is punishing you with this. She was told, God is teaching you a lesson. This is the will of God, that you be paralyzed. That's a common teaching in the United States as well. I know it is. I hear it. I run into it all the time. God is going to teach you something. He's strengthening you. She hated God. She was bitter towards him. And they brought me, and I said, there's thousands of people, and they brought me the first woman to minister to, and she's in a wheelchair. Yeah, it's, you know, they don't have wheelchair access or anything like that. They don't have any of that kind of stuff. You know, we live in the mountains in Guatemala. Guatemala is mountains and ravines. That's all it is. You go up, you go down, you go up. That's what life is there. She lives in a dirt floor shack. She's paralyzed. They brought her. Her husband carried her to the meeting, and somebody carried the wheelchair. That's the first person that I'm coming in contact with. And I go to minister to her, and she lets out this big scream. And she says in her tongue, in her language, she says, when, God, when? And she was screaming it out. She was so angry. And she kept saying it, I mean screaming it. When, God, when? And I got before her and I knelt down on my knees so she could see me in the eyes. I said, number one, this is not of God. God didn't do this to you. Satan did. Number two, don't worry about it. We have authority over Satan and all his wicked works. Number three, you will walk. You will walk out of this meeting. People say, how could you say that to her? I know my identity is in Christ. I know I'm created in the mirror image of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives and resides within me. And I've learned how to activate his power in my life. I've learned how to flow with him. He taught me my identity. Had I not known who I was in Christ, I probably would have looked at her and she started screaming, when, God, when? And I probably would have just said some religious little prayer over her and walked away. But I knew who I was. I know my authority in Christ. Christ lives within me. It's the Holy Spirit that lives within me. Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of the Father, Son, and of the Father. The Holy Spirit came down when Jesus ascended. The Holy Spirit came down, and it's him who resides within us. His power, the power of Christ, lives within us, the Holy Spirit. And I said, number one, this is not of God, because that's what she'd been told. And so she's bitter and she's angry because she's lost her dreams. She's lost her ability. She lost her ability for many things in life. Her dreams were stolen from her. And I walked up to her and I said, number one, this is not of God. This is of Satan. Number two, we don't need to worry about that because we have authority over Satan and all his wicked works. Sickness and disease is from the enemy in all forms. Sickness and disease is from the enemy. Christians, you do not have to put up with sickness and disease. You don't have to put up with sickness and disease because you're getting older. That is such a lie from the pit of hell. A man came up to me in a meeting, an elderly man. It was actually an elderly couple just the other week. And he had arthritis all over his body because of age. It's like, no. instantly gone. And then his wife pokes me and says, his hearing, he can hardly hear out of either of his ears. He wears hearing aids. It's like, okay, he can hear. And then he says he's wearing glasses and he has a very hard time seeing. And it's like, he goes, well, my vision, that's, of course he wants to heal you of that too. He can see. But he had fallen into this thing, because I'm getting older, that my knees should be giving out, my hips should be gone, you know, I should have arthritis all over my joints and my body. I'm literally seeing the most amazing miracles all over the United States right now. A lot of them are with elderly people. Not all, but there are many, many elderly people. A 91-year-old woman last weekend walked in with a walker. She was hard of hearing, and she needed a walker. And because she had a hip replacement 2 years before and has been in constant pain ever since then, and she could barely walk. She came up to the front. All pain was instantly gone. She started taking out of her hearing aids, and she started hearing out of her ears. That night she was at home. She lives in a nursing home or whatever. And she got up to go to the bathroom. And she realized she didn't have her walker. You don't have to take what the world says. We have authority over all things. So here I have this woman in the wheelchair, and she's in great pain and suffering. And I know who I am in Christ. I know my identity is in Christ. And so I know that authority, it just comes with knowing your identity. When you know who you are, the authority is right there. But first you have to know who you are. And I could say to her with all boldness, this is not of God. This is of Satan. Don't worry. We have authority over Satan. And you will walk. You're going to walk today, tonight. You're going to walk. I just laid my hand on her, and she went out screaming. She went out screaming under the power of the Spirit. So we went to go minister to thousands of people. Two blind people received their sight that night. I mean, you just name it, it was happening. One woman, she was a very old indigenous woman, uneducated, just a very elderly woman, and she had been born blind, completely blind. And I went up, they brought me, I had to work with an interpreter with her because she couldn't speak Spanish and I didn't know her language. And you know, I asked her, I said, what do you want? She goes, I want to see. Okay, we're going to see, amen. We're going to see. Laid my hand on her. I said, you'll see light. What do you see? And she's seeing light. In a secular radio station in Florida, I was at a two-hour interview, and they just let me go. I mean, they just let me, and I preached. I didn't hold nothing back. There was a blind man worked at that station. He received his sight. In a secular radio station. This is just a couple months ago. So I've got this blind woman standing there. And I said, what do you see? And through the interpreter, she's seeing light. She's never seen light before. I said, now you're going to see, objects and shapes. I said, what do you see? I put my hand on her. I said, what do you see? And she's drawing my outline with her finger. She goes, I see you. So now you're going to see color. This is a woman that's never learned color because she never could see. She's heard of red and black and yellow and all that, but she's never seen it. I've seen it over and over and over again. You're going to see color. What do you see? Someone that never knew how to distinguish colors because she's never seen them. I said, what color is my dress? Can you imagine the question I'm asking her? What color is my dress? She goes, rojo, red. I said, you are right. And now you're going to start seeing my fingers. I held up some fingers. I don't know. I said, how many fingers do I have up? She goes, I can't see your fingers. She goes, but you've got rings on. She's never seen rings. She's felt them. She's never seen them. And then before you knew it, she could see. At the end of that meeting, that glorious meeting, it ended like at midnight. The people, the Latins, are very free. And they were worshiping the Lord out in the soccer field, just dancing before the Lord. It was wild. It was just totally wild. And then they were cleaning up the chairs and everything. And there was this indigenous woman sitting there who had received her sight. And she's just sitting there looking up at the stars because she's never seen them before. And it's very beautiful, starlit out there. It's very dark. You know, there's not a lot of lights and stuff, so it's just really beautiful. And they wanted to get her up from her chair. And I said, leave her alone. She doesn't want to close her eyes. You just leave her alone. Would you want to close your eyes? After what, 70 years of seeing nothing but darkness? Wouldn't you want to have your eyes open? Leave her alone. So we have this woman in the wheelchair. I said, you're going to walk. Put my hand on her, and she goes, ah! She screams, and she goes out underneath the power of the Spirit. We minister to thousands of people, literally thousands of people. You know that woman? She woke up. She walked out of that meeting. With no help, she walked. And I heard a year later, God is so good. He wants you restored in spirit, soul, and body. You know, sickness steals, kills, and destroys. It not only destroys the body, it destroys hopes and dreams, desires. God restored her desire to be a mama. A year later, she gave birth to her first child. This is someone that is completely paralyzed, was. She had her first child. That's the God we serve. He wants to restore it all to you. He hasn't put sickness and disease on you so that you suffer. He is not putting sickness and disease on you to see if you'll be faithful to the end. Will you still praise the name of Jesus in the end? In a battle with cancer or something like that. That is so not of God. That is such a works mentality. We are saved, delivered. We are just completely redeemed by the blood of Jesus from the redemptive work of the cross. That's it. And he was whipped for all sickness, all disease. All sickness, all disease. He was whipped for it all. Talk about in the book about how I went to the throne room. And then how I went to the throne room in the form of a little girl. And then he took me back into time. An angel took me back into time, and I could have cared less what the angel looked like, because the angels that I see lead me right to Jesus. They don't lead me to themselves. They lead me right to Jesus. That's all they ever do. They never have me even gaze upon them. They lead me right to Jesus. And this angel escorts me back into time. I literally went back into time, and I went to the whipping post. I was in need of healing, and I was crying out to God in the form of a little girl. I was on the lap of God. I climbed up the throne of God, and I threw my arms around him, and I said, Daddy, I need you. And I was just sobbing because it was that intense. And an angel took me, escorted me back into time, and there I was as an adult. And I was looking right at Jesus, and he was looking right at me, and he's kneeling down at the whipping post, and he's being whipped. I saw it, and I heard it. I talk about it in the book. I saw it, and I heard it. This big, long strap, and in this big leather strap that they whipped him with, there's all kinds of sharp things in it, sharp objects. So as they cracked down on his back, it didn't just give him scars. It went in and pulled out his flesh, his muscles, his ligaments, his tendons, his nerves. It pulled it all out. He shed his blood for all sickness, for all disease, for you and for me. He's given us authority because he's given us his identity. Our identity is in Christ. We are created in the mere image of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. His mere image. You are created a little lower than Elohim. Just a little lower than the Father, Son, Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit. And you've been given all authority over Satan and his wicked works. Sickness and disease are not of God. They are not a blessing in disguise. They are not a thorn in the flesh, like people say Paul's thorn in the flesh. If you, I'd take you through all of those questions about Paul's thorn in the flesh, and I'd show you biblically exactly what it is. Paul's thorn in the flesh was a demonic spirit, a messenger of Satan that came to buffet him. It was one blow after another, after another, after another. It was not eye disease or sickness. It was not. Right in the same verse, it tells you what it is. Were you created to bear a cross of infirmity? No. The only cross that we were ever to bear on this earth was to deny ourselves and to follow after him. That's the only cross we were ever to bear, is to deny the flesh and to follow him. That's it. Jesus Christ paid the price for all sickness, all disease, all of it. Every sickness, every disease. And he wants you free in spirit, soul, and body. He wants you totally, completely set free from all of it. I was in a church service recently, in a healing service I was conducting there in Florida, in this one place in Florida. And the Lord revealed to me along this list of stuff. He said, suicide. I said, okay. I called out suicide. Three women came to be delivered from a spirit of suicide in one church service. Three ladies came, and they were sobbing. The first one came because she had been a victim of abuse. She just never was able to shake it off. And she just, Satan will just, that's his job, is to steal, kill, and to destroy. And he was just destroying this woman, this Christian woman, because of a past of abuse. I know there's people in here that have been abused. But Jesus set you free, and he wants you to be free. He wants you totally, completely set free. Totally, completely free from it. The second woman standing near her, she's just sobbing. And she goes, she wanted to commit suicide because she deals so much with addictions. She said, you name it, every addiction, I'm addicted to everything. And I just want to end it. She also got set free. Another woman, her friends carried her in because she could not stand and she could not walk. And she was at the point of literal suicide. Why? Because she had 8 herniated discs. And nothing could take it away. Nothing worked. She just wanted to end it. She just couldn't bear it anymore. She didn't have to bear it. They were holding her up, and she just wrapped her arms around me. She was instantly healed. Instantly. Like that. Just like that. Instantly healed. Of 8 herniated discs. Just like that. He doesn't want you to suffer anything. Your husband was unfaithful. He wants you free from the pain. He wants you free from bitterness. I was at another meeting, and I was staying at someone's house, and they handed me the phone. They were dialing a phone. They said, talk to her. Talk to her. I said, hello? Who am I talking to? I said, how can I help you? This is on the phone. I'm in New Smyrna Beach, Florida, and this woman is down in Miami Beach, Florida. Never knew her. I didn't even know what was going on in her life. I said, how can I help you? And she said that she suffered, her whole body suffered from rheumatoid arthritis, very, very bad. And I said to her on the phone, are you bitter towards someone? Because the Bible says that bitterness dries up the bone. What does arthritis do? Dries up the bone. I said, and she's sobbing on the phone. She goes, yes, I'm bitter towards everybody. I said, okay, in Jesus' name, you repeat this prayer with me if you want to. I want to. I said, in Jesus' name, I release. And I said, say the people's name. So she just started rattling off names. I release them from my vengeance. I release them from my bitterness in Jesus' name. As soon as she did that, you know what happened? The arthritis pain that was crippling her body was leaving her body. She started being able to move and to bend, her body straightening out on the phone. She's just crying out. She goes, it's leaving. And she goes, I can hardly stand. I said, well, then sit down. On the phone, sit down. His power works when you're sitting. So she sat down. And she's just sobbing because it's everything in her body is straightening out. And she's being healed over the phone. I said, do you want Jesus in your heart? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. She received Jesus on the phone. Does Jesus heal unsaved people? Yes, he does. Why does he save unsaved people? Because it leads them to him. She received Jesus. And then I took it a step further. I said, do you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I led her in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and she received it, and we prayed in tongues together on the phone. And we just rejoiced. That's knowing that you're creating the mirror image of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when you get your identity right, the authority just rises up in you. You are clothed in the rich robes of righteousness. You are clothed in the blood of Jesus Christ. When the Father looks at you, he doesn't look at your past. He doesn't look at the mistakes. Do you know he does not have one wicked thought against you? He only has good thoughts about you. And his good, precious thoughts about you outnumber the sands of the earth. That's all he has for you. That's the only thing he thinks. He doesn't go, oh, she blew it again. Oh, she went after this again. Oh, she did this. She said this. Or she didn't do this. She didn't say this. He never thinks that about you. Never. His precious thoughts about you outnumber the sands of the earth. And he wants you so healed. In spirit, soul, and body. He wishes above all things that you prosper spirit, soul, and body. That he took it all upon his own body. He said, whip me. Go ahead, whip me. Whip me. Pull it out. Pull it out. I won't utter one word against it. Go ahead, whip me. So you can be healed. He said, I'll take on, you don't have to be bound by arthritis. He says, because I took it on my body. I took on such arthritis that it just totally crippled me. They couldn't even tell I was human. I took on so many tumors. I became a tumor. They couldn't even tell I was human. I took upon every form of cancer. He took it all upon himself. Everything. Everything. The shame, he took upon your shame. Say, but you don't know he left me. You don't know what he did to me. You don't understand. Yes, I don't, but he does. Because he took upon that shame. He took upon that embarrassment. He took upon that pain. He took upon that rejection. He took it all upon him so you could be free from it. All of it. He wants you so set free. In spirit, soul, and body. He doesn't want you to hold on to one negative thought. Not one negative symptom. He doesn't want you waking up hurting. I had a man in Tallahassee, Florida. And an artist came up. He was an elderly man, and he sculpted these beautiful sculptures. I saw some brochures about him, about his work. They were beautifully done. He and his wife let him up. And he said, I'm an artist, and I'm completely blind in one eye, and I can't hardly see in the other eye because I cannot continue to sculpt. I cannot be an artist because I cannot see. I said, what do you want? Because I want to be healed. I said, what do you want? I want to see. I said, okay, I believe God, and I know God wants you to see so that you can continue to create with the gift he gave you. He's an elderly man, an artist, completely blind in one eye and losing his sight in the other. Laid hands on him. As soon as I laid hands on him, he could see my hand, he could see light, and he could see. And he's just crying. There's a truck driver, a couple people down from him, and he had just received his hearing. He was completely deaf in one ear and weak in the other ear. He's completely set free. And he saw this blind, this artist that was blind in one eye and losing his sight in the other, and he's saying, he goes, my vision's bad. I'm not going to be able to continue driving because I'm losing my vision, and it's very hard to see, and it's dangerous. I said, well, he wants that healed. And the man instantly starts reading the small fine print on the screen. He wants you healed in spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. Amen? Do you believe? Do you believe that you're created in the mirror image of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? Do you dare to believe it, even if you don't understand it? Can you dare to believe it and say, by faith, I receive it because it's in the Word? It's just a step of faith. That's all it is. And as soon as you take that step of faith, the veil is ripped off, and you become lethal to the enemy. You become lethal to the wicked works of Satan. He's so afraid of you. That's why he kept you in the dark. That's why he put a veil over you so that you would think you were a nobody when God says you are a somebody. His spirit is going to and fro throughout the whole earth, it says, looking for someone to show himself strong through. There is no list to fulfill to be that somebody. All you have to do is be a willing vessel. Are you a willing vessel? Can you be a willing vessel? He wants to move through you. There's not enough missionaries. There's not enough pastors and evangelists. There's not enough of us out there to go minister to everybody. Do you understand the time and the day you live in? Do you understand what's happening all around you? It's more than just voting someone into office or not voting for someone into office. Do you understand the time and the day you live in? Do you understand the hour you are in? Someone very precious is coming back. He's coming. And it's so close. He's coming. He says, yes, many will fall away, but there's going to be this great time in harvest, and he needs you. Like me? Yes, he needs you. What was I? I was a housewife. I graduated from 12th grade. I never went to college. I never even went to Bible college. I didn't have that opportunity in life. But since I got saved, I read the Word, and I started putting the Word into practice. I train and I teach pastors how to walk in the Spirit. I lead pastors to the Lord. Pastors that have been gone through years and years of theology that is against the Word of God. They're set free. They received Jesus. They received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they are released to do a new work, a powerful work for Jesus. It doesn't matter what opportunities you had in life or you didn't have. And none of it matters. It doesn't matter what they said or didn't say to you, what they did or didn't do. It's all about the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. It's all it is. It's the redemptive work of Christ. Can you keep your eyes focused on the redemptive work of Christ? Can you put in your heart, today I am going to focus, I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus. I walked into a situation after having these glorious meetings, and the pastor said, Sister so-and-so can't come because she's bedridden. She truly cannot come, but she wants you to come pray for her. So we walked down this path into get into her house, and as soon as I step in the house, I see this dear little Christian woman, totally, her body is paralyzed from the neck down. Her arms are growing around each other several times, and they're frozen in front of her face with her nails growing into her hands. Her waist is twisted, and her legs are all twisted up. This had killed her parents. Her brother was on the other side of the house with the same thing, but it affected him from the waist down. And I walk into the house, and Satan's mocking me. He's going, ha, 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 you faith healer, you try this one. And I'm like, get out of here, you know. Get off of me. You're just this little thing. Get out. You know, and I've learned, if you're wanting to activate your faith for something and Satan starts whispering in your ear lies of doubt and unbelief, what is he so afraid of? If he didn't think something was going to happen by you stepping out in faith, he wouldn't bother saying a thing to you. So I walk in. I look at the situation. And I've learned to ask the Holy Spirit, what does she need? Because Satan's mocking me when I walk in the door. Nobody knows it, and I wouldn't say that to anybody. I don't need to. And I look at this woman laying in this bed and just totally, I mean, I can't even do what she had. But she's sharp in her mind. Her mind is there, but she's just trapped in a body that's paralyzed and completely twisted. She's just bound in that bed. And I said, Holy Spirit, what does she need? I'm saying it quietly. And he says, speak life to dead bones. I went, oh, life to dead bones. Is that hard? Is that a hard thing to do? He just said, speak life to dead bones. It's like, oh. And so I laid my hand on her body, and she felt like a rock, cold rock, just very hard. Her whole body was like it was dead. And I just laid my hand on her, and I said, in Jesus' name, I renounce death and I speak life into dead bones. That's all I did. I said, I'm looking at her head's here and I'm looking at her here, so I'm kind of looking at her feet. And I said, do what you couldn't do. Put your faith in action. And she just kind of looked at me and I went, oh, that's a very difficult request for her because she couldn't do anything. I said, okay, I'm looking at her feet. And I said, move your little toe. And the Holy Spirit says, no. I said, no. He said, tell her to move her little finger because that's what she's been looking at for the last many years. And I'm like going, oh. I said, move your little finger. She looked at me again. She couldn't move her head. She just looked at me in the corner. I said, don't question it. Just do it. She, next thing she knew, she went, I said, don't you dare stop. You stop and that healing will stop. In 20 minutes, she was totally unraveled. That's because you have the greater one living in you. Greater is he that is in the world than he that is in the... Greater is he, Jesus, who is in you than he, Satan, who is in the world. Do you understand that? You've got the creative, explosive power of the Holy Spirit living and residing within you. You just have to learn how to activate him in your own life and in the life of others and in every situation. Every situation. Did you come here for healing? Are there people here that need healing? I read a list of things out here. Is there somebody that can play music here? Something? A tape? Do you have a worship tape? Anything you can put on? Something nice and soft? I'm going to ask you to come forward. I'm going to minister to you in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to do that. We have cloths here. If you are standing in faith for someone, we are going to anoint cloths at the end of here. And over here we'll do that, you know, because I have a lot of people that come and they are believing for other people. We're going to anoint these. We're going to speak over them. I'm going to give you instruction on what to do, how to properly use these. Amen. Amen. Don't forget, get a tape, give it to someone. Listen to it to yourself, give it away. Buy them for people. Seriously, buy books for people. My father was in the hospital. I went to go find a card from my dad, a get well card. I flew up from Florida. I mean from Guatemala. And I went to go to the store to buy him a get well card. I couldn't find him anything that it was just all wimpy. There was no faith. Even though I was in the Christian cards, there was no faith. No faith. So I said, okay, I'm not doing that. I can't do that. I walked into the hospital. I said, here, Dad, this is your get well card, okay? This is for you, Dad. My mom read it out loud to my dad. They prayed every prayer in there. As my mom is reading it, other patients who have been told there's no hope were listening. They went up to my mom and they said, what are you reading? Because they're listening. Oh, that's too loud. They're listening. And they're actually buying it out of my mom's hand. You know what that tells me? People want hope. They need hope. They want hope. And you've got the hope within you. Give it. Seriously, give it. You will see lives changed. I'm seeing people saved, delivered, healed, set free. Healed all over the world. Just give it. Give it to them. Give something that actually makes a difference. Amen? Jesus gave something that made a difference. Made a difference in my life. Amen? Put on something worshipful. Tell me when you're ready. The rest of you stand up. If you came here for a healing, start coming forward. Just form a nice line, probably in a curve or something. Okay? Oh, thank you. Believe God. Totally believe God. Take the limits off of Him. He wants you healed. He so wants you healed that He took it upon Himself. He allowed them to whip Him. He shed His blood so that you could be healed, so that you could be totally set free. Do you know? It's like, take the limits off of God. Do you know that people are receiving new teeth? Bald people are receiving hair. We are going to see more and more and more. More and more and more. More and more and more. It doesn't matter our age. It doesn't matter limitations. It doesn't matter. The whole thing does not matter. Just last weekend, I'm in, where am I? In Nashville, Henderson, Nashville, in that area, because I was doing several meetings in a couple churches. A woman has her hand in, not a cast, I don't do cast, they, in that black brace thing, because she had a broken arm. Laid my hand on her. She starts screaming. She starts moving her wrist. She starts moving her arm and her wrist. She's moving her fingers and she starts screaming out loud in front of everybody. It was broken. Broken bones. A woman, a few women from her. She had a broken leg, a broken foot. And she had her foot in that boot thing. And she just starts jumping and leaping up and down because the broken bones are instantly healed. Take the limits off of God. He so wants you healed. So wants you healed. Amen? Amen? Just take the limits off of Him. Totally, completely take the limits off. People are getting instantly healed of one thing, and they're like going, oh, but I've got this. And they get healed again. That truck driver that I said that saw the artist get healed of blind eyes. He was... completely deaf all his life in the ear and partially deaf in the other. Instantly healed. Sees him get healed. He goes, my eyes, I'm losing my vision. And we ministered. And then he goes, my back. And he had something with his hips. And he just kept getting healed. And then other people are like going, you know, I've had this, but I don't need this. It's like, no, we don't need it. We don't need it. We don't need it. God was ministering to me a couple days before I went there. And he said, you've been walking in the arena of the amazing. He goes, step up to the arena of the astounding. The astounding. And I'm going, God, I've seen so much. What is the astounding? He's going, you're going to see it all. You're going to see it all. So I've taken the limits off of God. And speaking, new body parts that were removed from women because of breast cancer and all of those things. Legs, you name it, everything. We are going to see it all. You just wait. It's already happening. And it's going to move through you. Through you. Everywhere you go. He said there's an... He gave me this vision and he said a tsunami wave of healing is... It has already been released into the Western world. Because no longer will they say, why not here? Why only over there? Healing is not geographical, number one. It's about the blood of Jesus. He said, tell them healing is breaking out. And I'm seeing it everywhere. Healing is breaking out. He said, no longer will you have to run and go to this place. He said, it'll be everywhere. No longer will be small pockets where everybody just all comes in to receive. He said, it's going to be just happening everywhere. And it is happening everywhere. Everywhere. He just said, just tell them, be willing to get wet. A tsunami wave, get wet. He said, just be willing to get wet. You're here, so I believe you're willing. Amen? Get the limits off of God. Take them off. Don't make Satan so big and God so little. It's wrong. Flip-flop it. Satan really is so little. The word says, when we get up there, we're going to look down and we're going to say, that's the one? That's the one that terrorized the nations? That's him? I saw him. The little creature. He's a little thing. Amen. Yes, we're set free. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
It's my left shoulder.
Okay. In Jesus' name. Jesus. No praying. Lift it up. In Jesus' name, I just release that healing power of the Holy Spirit into this left shoulder in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Start moving it. Move it. Do what you couldn't do. Amen. Be healed. It's recreated in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's done.
It's done.
Amen. Amen. So we say glory to Jesus. Do what you couldn't do. Amen. She's got a new shoulder in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Okay, I need some disc in my back. And I have arthritis. And I'm not bitter towards
okay,
anyone.
Not everybody is. Not everybody's bitter. Don't worry about it. Not everybody's bitter. In Jesus' name, we just release that healing power of the Holy Spirit to flow into
low
this
back.
Woman.
Low back.
Into this woman's
yes.
spine right now in Jesus' name. We command these discs to be recreated in Jesus' name too. And to function perfectly normal and everything else that's been injured in Jesus' name with it, in Jesus' name, to be recreated and healed in Jesus' name. Put your faith in action. Do what you couldn't do. Do what you couldn't do.
Yeah, I can do that. It's just
okay,
the
whatever.
Pain. The pain.
Okay. Shh. Jesus' name, I just command all arthritis off of this body, out of her in Jesus' name, that she's totally, completely set free in the name of Jesus. Pain be gone in Jesus' name. Do what you couldn't do. Do what you couldn't do. Can someone shut this off? In Jesus' name. Do what you couldn't do.
Thanks so much.
problems. I have hip problems, foot problems. I